Okay, up next, we will try for guest number three behind the secret door. I'm one for two, 50%. Let's find out if I can guess who's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's open up the secret door. All right, in comes guest number three. Hello there.
Shut up. I'm going to shut up. Hello, George.
Hello.
Is this really George?
Yeah, this sounds like Paulie from Goodfellas.
Oh.
But I'm not guessing that.
My name is Estelle. I live in Hazlitt, New Jersey. George?
Yeah?
Am I in the radio?
Can you hear me?
Am I in the radio right now?
Yes.
God, oh my God. George!
Are you a guest? Have you been a guest on the show?
I have dreamed of being a guest on this show. George dreamed of this. I cannot believe I have... Shut up, I'm talking to George. I would like to be a guest on Coast to Coast.
Are you Dr. Morgus?
Who's Dr. Morgus? This is Estelle. I'm telling you who I am. This is Estelle. You grew up in Brooklyn. George, like all quality people, I moved to New Jersey. George, am I on the radio?
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but...
George, I have always wanted you on my bucket list, George. This is my bucket list. I won this at a prize at St. Ignatius. We were having a raffle, and I won this.
You won an opportunity to be on the show? They picked you as a secret guest? I've never heard of you before?
I don't know how it happened. I just saw this here, and I put it down. I put my name. It was the prizes by the door, and we could just sign up, and I put down $65, and I won. I won the chance to
Who put you on the show, sir?
The parish priest. He's the one who finds the prizes every year, and he put that down, and I put down $65. I outbid Shirley for $63. She'll never forgive me. I won for $65.
This is who at my Coast to Coast program put you on?
Well, I'm some guy named Danstein.
Dan Heiser.
That's it.
He called you and put you on the show as a secret guest.
I got my $65. I paid it to the priest. I won fair and square. I don't care what Shirley says. I put down $65. She said $63. I watched The Price is Right. I know you just put a little bit more than the bid. That's what I did, and I won, and then Danstein called me.
Well, he knows that we're supposed to have regular guests on so I can guess who they are. I have no idea who you are. If you've never been on the program before.
George, I can say I've always wanted to be on the show. It's on my bucket list. Please don't take this away from me.
What am I going to do for an hour with you?
You ask me questions about my life. This is what I've been dreaming of.
What do you do?
Nothing.
You do nothing?
Nothing.
You live in New York?
No, I'm from New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, where all quality people are from. I live in Hazlitt, New Jersey now.
All right, and do you call talk shows?
Oh, my God, no. This is the first time I've ever done that. I've called before, but I always get a busy signal. Well, sometimes I try to win prizes.
So I got to do this interview with you. I might as well. I'll do the best I can. All right?
I'll tell you everything. I have no secrets from you, George. I listen to you every night.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was delightful. I had two of my seven kids came in to see me, and they brought four of their 13 children.
Oh, my God. You are grandpa that much?
Grandpa, my name, no, you, I'm Estelle. My name is Estelle. I live in Hazlitt, New Jersey, originally from Brooklyn, where quality.
What kind of name is Estelle?
Estelle, George. Estelle, the famous name. It refers to the stars. Estelle, like stars. Stella.
Are you a guy or a girl?
George, you're hurting my feelings here. I didn't pay $65 to come here and be insulted. I came here.
No, I'm not trying to insult you. I mean, are you a man or a woman?
I think I've smoked a little too much. I think I may have done that over.
You're saying your name is Stella?
Estelle, George. Estelle. This isn't that hard. Estelle. and I am such a fan. I listen every night.
Well, thank you for that. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving with your family.
And what did you do, George? I know everything about your life.
I had a great Thanksgiving with family. Yeah, I'm in St. Louis right now.
Oh, I mean, you got to see your family.
Yeah, I sure did. That's why I'm here. I'm here for the holidays.
I'm so sorry about all of your professional teams.
Well, the Lions won today.
That's true, but they were playing just the Vikings.
Well, that's true too, Estelle. Well, we might as well make this fun, and we might as well make this work in as much as they put in a guest I have no idea who you are.
But Mr. Danstein asked me all these questions before he allowed me to come on, so I mean,
what kind of questions did he ask you?
He asked me what my name was. He asked me where I was from. He asked me how much I had to pay in order to be on the show.
Well, we don't charge people. You know that.
You might want to check Mr. Danstein. He might be running a little thing on the side.
You mean he's in cahoots with the parish minister?
Or anybody. He might be selling some of the space. I don't know. But it only cost me $65.
Well, I think if he was going to sell the space, it would be more than $65.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you're not worthy. You are to me, George. This is on my bucket list. I can't believe it.
Are you? Let me ask you this. I might as well ask you a few questions. Whoever you may be, Estelle, you say. Huh? Are you pulling my leg?
George, I would never pull your leg. I would. If I saw your leg, I would hold on to it as you dragged me across the floor. That's the only way I would be pulling your leg, and I'd be telling you how much I love you.
So I'm supposed to guess who you are. You are really this guy named Estelle.
It's not a guy, George.
It's not a guy. All right. What are you?
Like a knife in my heart. Would you cut with that?
Are you a male or female?
George.
Can you answer that?
I know how God made me. I told you I have beautiful children. They brought some of their, you know, babies with them.
I didn't ask you that. Male or female?
Well, some of them are boys and some of them are
No,
girls.
No, you.
You like names and birthdays?
No. I'm talking about you. A name like Estelle. I don't know who you are, what you are.
Well, George, I can tell you what I am. I'm your biggest fan. And I just cannot believe that I get to be on the radio.
Well, you're on the radio, and you're going to be on for another 40 minutes.
Oh, God. I don't know what I'm going to say. You better ask good questions.
I'm saying the same thing to myself right now.
You better come up with some good questions.
I'm trying to, believe me. I asked you what you do. You say nothing.
Nothing.
Have you ever written a book?
My life is a book, and it's an open book, and I tell people about my life all the time, and they always say, you should be a movie.
So you haven't written a book yet?
No, not yet.
You haven't done that.
But I'm waiting, so maybe you would write a book about me? Or this would be a chapter in your book?
Maybe. You might be a chapter. You might be. You know, pretty soon I'm going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to let people just chat with you.
Oh,
would
God.
You do that?
As long as you don't let anybody swear at me.
No, that's unacceptable on this show. So you don't have to worry about that. Nobody will do that. And if they do, we zap them right off. And they're gone.
I heard you are too nice a guy. I have not heard you ever do that with somebody, ever.
I had to do that.
I love you, George.
I had to do that with a guest a couple of months ago.
Oh, no. What did they do?
Well, every word they used was some kind of... It was language that is unacceptable for the show.
That's why I left Brooklyn. Language that was unacceptable.
Are you a taxi driver?
No, I am. I do nothing.
What you must have done something in your life to have wonderful kids and grandchildren. So what kind of career did you have?
Well, you're right about that, George. But if I have to explain to you about what I did to have children, I think you'd be zapping me, if you know what I mean.
Okay. All right, well, we don't want to go there.
I did do some things.
Were you ever in the military?
No, I was not in the military. But there was no war on when I was growing up either.
All right. How old are you?
I would have served this country proudly.
How old are you?
What's that? I'm 63 years old, George. Is that too old for you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. You're fine. You can be any age.
You're very happy. I know that, George. You wouldn't want a woman like me.
Oh, so you're a woman. Okay. Have you ever been a guest on the program?
I have never been a guest on this show until right now. I cannot believe I'm here. I cannot believe I'm here. Shh, quiet.
Who's back there?
What's that? Well, that would be my husband who keeps telling me that I'm pretending to be on the show, pretending to be on the radio, because I do that sometimes just to bug
him. Oh, no, no. Tell him you're actually on the show.
Okay. But I'm actually on the show. George says, shut up. Shut up. George actually said, shut up.
No, no. George doesn't use that kind of language.
He never says that. He said that to you, so shut up. Go ahead, George.
I didn't say shut up. Why'd you tell him that?
Because otherwise he won't shut up. But if you say it, if I say it, he doesn't do it. You say it, he shuts up.
Well, he's got to be in shock that you're on the radio.
Not in shock. He's not even in pajamas.
So you're telling me Danheiser...
Yes.
...contacted you as a guest to be on Behind the Secret Door. Can I... Is Tom back in the studio, Danny? Can you have him put his headsets on for a second? I want to put him on for a second.
I'm right here.
Let's turn his mic on if you can.
I'm right here, George.
You can listen to it,
Estelle. Dan Steen, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's Danheiser.
Tom, I got to ask you a few questions. One, you know the concept of what's behind the secret door.
I do.
I'm supposed to guess who the coast-to-coast guests are. And then I conduct my little interview, and I guess who they are, like Quayle, I guessed. Mr. Lobo, I didn't. Why have you put somebody on, as nice as Estelle is,
thank you, George,
that I have no idea who they are?
Well,
I hate to send Estelle under the bus, but Estelle has been a guest on this show.
No, Estelle says they have never been a guest.
Correct, and that's why I said I'm throwing
so
him or her under the bus.
Are you saying Estelle is lying to me?
I'm saying Estelle is quite an actor.
Are you saying this is a put-on?
I'm saying Estelle is doing a great job. But Estelle has been on the show, and Estelle is closer to the show than you would imagine.
So you're saying Estelle should be behind the secret door?
Oh, Estelle should absolutely be behind that door. Estelle needs to elude a little bit more to you of who he or she is.
Okay, so let's get this correct then. So I'm being spoofed. That's what you're saying.
Well, you're being...
I'm being spoofed. This person has...
Were you talking to me in subtext?
No, not yet. Not yet. Just hold on, Estelle. I'll be with you in a second.
So I don't understand subtext.
So,
Tom, what you want me to do?
Tom, just...
Hold on, Estelle.
Just hold on, Estelle. So, Tom, you're saying that Estelle legitimately should be on the secret door.
Estelle should legitimately be on the secret
door. Okay, has been a guest on the program before.
Has been a guest on the program before and is closer to the show than you.
I'm
know.
Getting more answers out of you than Estelle.
George, yeah. I've answered every one of your questions as sincerely as possible.
I'm sure you have, Estelle, but you know, if you picked you up out of some contest that I was unknown about.
Mr. Danstein took my money, and that's all I know.
Danheiser. You took his money to put him on the show. Now, you know I'm going to have to talk to you about that when I come back to L.A.
You're killing me. Estelle,
all right, Tom, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because it's Thanksgiving night.
It is.
And, you know, it's almost the end of the half and I'm supposed to go to phone lines. What are people going to ask this person?
Actually, they're going to have to ask him questions.
Are you telling me that I need to guess who this person is, that this is not the person that they say they are? Let me answer that for me.
That is correct, but this person, Estelle, needs to give you a little closer hint before you guess.
Well, first of all, the person called Estelle didn't ever let on that they were guests, that it was some person who paid $65 to get on the show.
Because they're trying to trick you.
That's what I needed to know.
Yes.
It's been a spoof. All right.
George,
thanks,
all I
Tom.
Need to hear you say is, I give. That's all I need to hear
yeah,
you say.
Yeah, right, I'm going to say this.
If you say, I give, then I know I've done it 2 years in a row.
I will say this beyond I give. I'll say, I give up. Who are you?
George, I'm so glad you said something, because I don't know how much longer I could have done that voice.
Pun it! Unbelievable!
I was really dying there.
That... That may be, well, first of all, Tom's going to be let go when I get back to L.A.
Well, he really did take my $65, so half of it.
That may be, I got to tell you, Ian, that may be the best impression I have ever heard. I actually thought they duped me by dumping some listener on the show, and I had to do this interview with, which I would have done, you know me, but
I was a compliment I could not ask.
I was thrown by a loop. Wow.
Well, I will tell you, I had this dry throat, and so I was going to drink some water, but I knew I had to fake a voice, and I don't do a lot of fake voices, so I did Bill Clinton. Remember that?
I remember that. You were my secret door guest, right, on the last time.
So that's why I was like, okay, but then I thought, I can't drink any water, and I just got to let this dry horse voice
get me
through, and I'm dying for some water.
You are an author, though. You are an author.
I'm an author. I lied. Yeah, I lied.
Your new book, A Black Knight for the Bluegrass Bell.
Thank you.
That has to do with a family situation. It's an amazing story.
Writer.
But
right.
No, I got, all right, I've got to congratulate you.
Thank you.
For one, the voice, and two, I really felt duped. I thought that something had happened to Tom's brain or Lisa's or whoever tossed you in on this, and that they actually picked up somebody off the street to be a guest just to get to me.
Well, I'm not saying there's something, you know, right about Tom or Lisa for letting me back on the show again, which I'm very grateful for, so thank you. But, yeah, I'm not just any person.
Oh, my God. Well, how are you since the last time we chatted? You doing all right?
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, doing really well. I had that People magazine piece has done well for me on the new book. And
good.
Fun when that was out, and thank you for all the pub that you gave to me. Lex was nice enough to put that up. And
super.
Yeah, so everything's been going great for the book, and I think actually Amazon's been sold out for a while.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's good and bad, of course, because it means people get frustrated.
And you're still teaching?
Yep, just here. I came back to Phoenix to see my wife for Thanksgiving, and I go back to finish the semester on Sunday.
And how's the health?
Oh, thank you so much. Tinnitus is horrible, but, you know, but Estelle's is fine, by the way. When I was doing Estelle, I didn't have tinnitus. So,
you wouldn't tell me the sex that you were.
I kept trying to play it out to see how you would have to handle somebody that you had no idea, especially when you said, what have you done? You said nothing.
Nothing.
I left you with nothing.
This is great. This is going
to
be...
Because I thought, you know, what a drag that would be if you actually had to do an interview like that.
I did with you.
Yes, you did. So I was intentionally being a nightmare.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, after the break, we're coming back for phone calls with Estelle.
Right.
What do people ask this person who nobody knows anything about?
Well, here's what I bet you there were a lot of people who were screaming, "It's Ian!" at the radio. I'm sure
You think some people would have guessed you? I don't know. That accent was so good and persuasive.
Oh, good.
All right, hold on, Ian. We're going to come back. We are going to open up the phone lines. Folks, you can chat with Ian Punnett or with Estelle. It's your choice. I'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Ian Punnett, our special guest this hour, also known as Estelle. Ian, I think to it, in all fairness to me, I'm going to say I didn't get you right. I didn't get it wrong. I'm still one for two. You agree?
What? You didn't get it right. You didn't get it wrong. Meaning?
On picking you because you didn't give me a lot of clues, so I can't.
I did not give you a lot of clues. However, I think the fact that my voice is on the show perhaps more than the average guest that you have.
No, I thought you were some kind of trick guest somebody popped in on me.
Well, I all I needed to hear you say was "I give," although I really would have preferred you say "I give." But I know, here's what I know. Since 2 years in a row, I've been able to fool you. I don't know, there'll never be a third. So let me have
that's,
my moment.
That's because you're not going to be on it anymore.
I was like sneaking in these little jokes about your sports teams, and I thought I was giving myself away.
You know, you were good, and somebody who claimed to have listened to the show as much as Estelle did would pick up on all those things.
Well, I went to my Twitter account, and there were people that were tweeting it out. Well,
they loved it. Huh?
But you're on Coast, right? It's
I
you.
Love it.
I know it's you.
So let's go to the phones. You ready?
Yeah,
take some calls. Jim, truck driving in Idaho. You're on with Estelle or Ian Punnett. Go ahead, Jim.
That was kind of hilarious. That was good.
Oh, my gosh. You got me.
And Yeah, I've been watching, listening to you guys for months on, you know, because I've been running a lot of night shifts. And I tell you, it's hilarious when you can pull a stunt off like that.
That's right. Thank you. It's so in rare, especially because I think George is pretty good at guessing. So I feel like any time I could get it, as the clock was ticking, I thought, okay, this is actually working. I thought you were going to get me in like 5 minutes.
I figured he'd have got you sooner than that.
Well, thank you.
No, I actually, this is what duped me. Thank you for the call. This is what duped me. I actually thought that our producers, that Lisa and Tom, had planted somebody who was never a guest just to throw me off. So I'm guessing to outguess the guessing.
Yeah.
And I just kept saying to myself, this yeah. isn't a real guess. This
but
is.
What could I say that wouldn't totally give me away? I mean, the second I answered any of your questions legitimately, I'm totally out.
Well, I mean, when I said, you know, have you ever been on the show, and you said no.
No, that was a guest. And I thought, yes, if I say yes, then he'll know that it was me. I don't know. I just thought.
Well, that, yeah, but that's the object of the game.
I know I lied.
You
I
just,
know I cheated.
on a witness stand.
I may have cheated, but I feel like I won.
Yes, you like that, don't you? Wait till you get your PhD officially, and you're in some event, and I dress up in a costume and get you.
Yeah, the mustache might give you away. But let me just say, if they're hearing this at the PhD committee, this might actually slow the process down.
This may destroy years of work.
My credibility,
for you.
You know, it's all about the credibility. So,
well, by the way, Ian Punnett's with us. His new book is called A Black Knight for the Bluegrass Bell. It's an amazing true story.
It is.
Where did you get the data and the facts to put the book together?
So a lot of it, you know, some of it came from the family because this murder happened in my family, but also I love true crime magazines. Did you read those growing up?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, so
they were scarier than most TV shows.
They were, and in fact, what was really interesting, this is part of what I've been studying for my PhD, is about true crime narratives. Like, why do we tell true crime stories the way we do? Why do we tell murder stories the way we do? And I studied the true crime magazines because they loved to write about this person. And that they had written about my grandmother's first cousin who was murdered. And she made over a dozen appearances in true crime magazines, starting from right after when she was murdered to even into the 1950s, they were still writing about the story. So I had a lot of source material that I was able to find, and it was very interesting to see how they told the same story, say in the New York Times when it was covering the story or the trials, and how they talked about it in the true crime magazines.
Do you love covering true crime stories?
All the time. That's what I do.
I'm going to give you one to research.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was a television producer executive back in Detroit, around 1977, there was a case of a missing boy. By policy, we did not run missing children stories on the show.
Really?
Because you'd get flooded with all these, you know, this kid's gone, this kid's gone. But we got a call, and I can't recall who called us, whether it was the parent of the missing child or the police department. But he was 12 years old. His name was Mark Stebbins of Ferndale, Michigan. And I talked to whoever called in, and I'm pretty sure it was the police, but I think the parents had given him permission. And he said, look, we got a missing kid story, and here's the information, and, you know, he disappeared, blah, blah, blah. I led the newscast that night, Ian, with that story. My news director called me up and just screamed at me. Now, look, I was one of his golden boys.
Right.
And he had never done that before. And he said, why would you do this? You know it's our policy not to run missing children stories. And I stopped him. His name was Dick Graff, God rest his soul. And I said, Dick, I'm going to tell you something. I've got the strangest feeling about this case. And I said, I can't put my finger on it, but it's the way they called me. And I just think that this is going to become a bigger story than a missing kid. And he said, God, I hope you're right for your sake. And he hung up. And I went, wow. Couple days later, they found the little boy dead. And he became the first victim of what is called the Oakland County child killer.
Right.
A serial killer out there who has never been found, Ian. If you have the time, look into that. There was a psychiatrist involved at the time. His name was Dr. Bruce Danto. I don't even know if he's alive. He was trying to hone in on who might have done this. But the children that were found dead... four of them for sure. I think it could have been six to eight.
Well, that, and so I, just as you're speaking, I was kind of Googling some of that stuff and came up, there's a couple of very interesting websites on this. I don't see a book, but that's, so was there anybody that they suspected?
They had a number of suspects, including John Wayne Gacy, who was in Chicago at the time.
Driving over the line.
But the children were always laid in a little... pile of snow, tucked away with their arms folded. It was horrible. Somebody had spotted seeing an AMC Gremlin drive away. But if you get into that and you start doing research, that's one for you, because I don't recall a book being written about that.
Well, and so just to speak to that, what you did that night obviously was ahead of its time, because fast forward a few years and those stories are not turned down by newscasts. In fact, there's the other way around.
Exactly.
Everybody is catalyzed to try to find a missing child now. And this is part of why I'm so interested in how stories are used, because at somewhere along the line, you know, that was considered bad broadcast journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes. And so when I study the line between when does crime reporting become true crime, and so where exactly, when in the narrative of a news story, do we start saying that, well, that was a great true crime story, like Making a Murderer on Netflix or Serial the podcast, or you know, The Jinx on HBO? These are all great new iterations of true crime, which kind of tie directly back to the true crime magazines that you and I both grew up reading. Which I think it's amazing that it just keeps taking different forms. But we try to figure out, the living tries to figure things out based on giving voices to the dead. And we try to give in the case of a Black Knight, you know, for the Bluegrass Bell, it's all about giving a woman whose voice had been throttled,
mm-hmm,
basically by her killer, and giving her a voice after all these years to tell her side of
that's
the story.
That's right. That's right. Speaking from the dead almost.
Yeah, which is really what it is. And Anne Rule, the queen of true crime, I mean, she spoke about it like a kind of sisterhood. I thought it was so interesting that she was trying to warn women through her books, because the most consumers of true crime are women. And so she was using these stories of just like you're talking about, serial killers and campus stalkers and other things that hitchhike killers, that she would take these stories because she was trying to take the dead and form a sisterhood with the living to keep women from making the mistakes that the others did.
Let's go west of the Rockies now. Dee is with us from Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Dee. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Good morning to you, George, and happy Thanksgiving both to you and Estelle.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a comment and a quick question for Ian.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that, first of all, George, you handled that so well. I am so proud to say I've listened to this program for over 20 years, and in all the years that you've been the host, you are just always so professional and so polite, and so, like with the election, you were just so good with everyone, and tonight you just topped yourself. You were on the spot, and you handled it.
I felt like a deer in the headlights.
I know you did, but you just handled it well. And Ian, you deserve an Academy Award.
Thank you.
I thought you were Danny DeVito, Robert De Niro. I'm not kidding. I usually guess, but you stumped me.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're
here. Serious.
A nice little surprise for a Thanksgiving night.
Well, if you ever decide not to do what you're doing or finish your schooling, you've got a career in Hollywood.
Well, I think Mr. Danstein can attest. I started doing that voice about 60 seconds before I got on the air. I asked,
wow,
how much time do I have? And then I sat there and tried to come up with something. So I don't put a lot of thought into it, but I was grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Well done. My quick question is, I found it sort of poetically ironic that tonight Steve Quayle would be the first guest, and then you come on, and I seem to remember years ago there was a time when you two did not see eye to eye. And so my quick question is, as a listener, we always wonder, what happened? Did you guys heal the rift, or was there even a rift?
Well, I didn't think of it as a rift. I just disagreed with something that he had said. And I take the Bible very seriously, and I also maintain a level of what I think of as being an integrity. So I think it wasn't as much a disagreement as it just was, this wasn't going to work. And it wasn't going to work because I just don't approach, I felt very strongly that we weren't, at the time, that we weren't 1 year away from having no economy or no money, and that we'd be growing vegetables in our front yard. And I you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'll just tell you, there was somebody who used to regularly write me at Coast to Coast, and they committed suicide.
Oh, God.
And they used to write me because they would talk about our guests, and they would say they really felt like there was no hope. And I was always trying to reassure them, this is radio, this is a show we're doing. And so I've always had them in the back of my mind. We always have to leave that glimmer of hope that this may not turn out that way, and that this isn't set in stone, this is just one possible future. And so that was all the line that I was trying to maintain that night. And it seemed like afterward that I probably took too hard a line on that, but I was still fresh in my mind was the loss of that listener.
Well, so. It's a thin line to balance too.
Yeah.
As we know, doing this for so many years. I mean,
yeah, I get asked that question a few times. You know, I do have one thing I have to mention, and I know because we're going to run out of time here. Because Amazon.com is sold out, somebody just asked me this question on social media. So the best way to get the book, and thank you again for mentioning it, is through the publisher or through independent bookstores, some of whom carry it. But AcclaimPress.com is the place that's getting the books out the fastest, and Amazon has to be restocked, and then they send them out afterward. It just adds time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to just restock Amazon, get them going
right,
again.
They try, which was nice, but I think the People magazine piece put a few things on back order, so there were some people that were frustrated because they wanted to get the book for the holidays.
Yeah, that was a great hit for you.
Yeah, it was nice. So, and I thought, when they first called, George, I'm like, really? Sexiest Man Alive again? I thought, no, let George have it this time. But they were saying, no, this time it's about your book. That's where the blessing of that is also kind of a curse. So acclaimpress.com to get the book the fastest before Christmas.
It's good. Rock Hill, South Carolina. Now Barry's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Barry.
Hello, George. I'm telling you, buddy, Tommy and Ian got you good.
You sound like Estelle yourself.
Well, George, I'm telling you, I have never heard you get so close to being at a loss for words. You almost lost it and
yep.
Could not say a word, George. And I got a question for Ian real quick. But listen, I'm going to be out there. I told Tommy, and I'm going to come up and see you guys. It's going to be after the first of the year. But Tommy, buddy, you got him good. And if you fire Tommy down over this, I'm going to get you, George.
Well, just as a reminder that whenever you meet Tom, call him Mr. Dan Steen. Just go ahead and that was a reminder of tonight, Mr. Dan Steen.
Put Dan Steen on the phone. Anyway, Ian, doggone it, I miss you. Why don't you do the Coast to Coast shows anymore?
Can't. Thank you so much. You're so sweet to say that. I really, the tinnitus thing, I'm on a pretty strict kind of therapy regimen that to watch sound and headphones, and I have to, I take these chemicals every night to help with the headache. And so that prescription can sometimes make me a little drowsy. Yeah. As George can remember a time when I wasn't spoofing him, and it was in the early phases of them trying to help me with this headache, and I was like totally loopy.
My God, that's on YouTube now. You know that?
I will never risk that ever happening again.
I thought you had a stroke.
I know you did. And it was really just like, it was just the stuff had kicked in, and it was just so crazy. So
I didn't remember that
it happened till the next morning.
I went to you. We were doing a crossover promo, and
I was so glad you got Dave Schrader on tomorrow night.
Yeah, David just lost his mother, by the way.
I know. I was looking at him on Facebook. Dave and I chat from time to time. But I'm so glad he was on. He does such a great, especially with callers and his great scary.
That's a great team, and I could still consider you part of that team.
That's nice. Well, I like to think I was able to help him get a regular shot on Coast because he deserves it.
Yep, you sure did. You sure did. Almost out of time, Ian. Let's give out some websites and some more information for folks who want to track what you do.
Thank you. And you have one more of these to do coming up?
I have one more someone. I mean, I have no idea what they're throwing at me tonight.
I have raised the bar.
Yes, you have.
So acclaimpress.com is the website for the book, A Black Knight for the Bluegrass Bell, true crime, historical true crime. Murder happened in 1936, and the book involves both two murders and two trials. It's selling very well, and that's part of the problem. So I did a little book signing in Minneapolis the other night. That was great. But I wish I could get out and do more of those, but I can't. But if they buy the book, I think they'll be very happy with it. And it's great for gifts. And the cover is cool, and you can find more information on all of that on the website. I know because Lex put up some really nice stuff about that.
Super. Ian, thanks. Or Estelle, whatever your name might be. Coming up next, another last person who's behind the secret door. Please, God, make it a regular guest. We'll be back.